Begin the Karan Dav Mesach, the Shabbos Dav Semach Beis. Begin 10 lines in from the top of the Amid. The Gemara concludes discussing the previous Mishnah, which spoke about the things that a man is not allowed to go out with into Rosh Hashanah, Midra Abanan, that although it's really part of him and it's intrinsic to his essence, however, Midra Abanan, we were concerned that he's not allowed to go out with into Rosh Hashanah. So the final three items were B'loi B'Shiryon, B'loi B'Kasta, B'loi B'Gafayim. And the Gemara explains these three items. Shiryon is Zrod, is a coat of mail. Kazda is a helmet. So the Gemara explains that, Omer Rav, what type of helmet is this? Snavarosa. It's a leather helmet. That is a helmet made out of leather that was put under the metal helmet that was worn in times of the war. And magafayim are shin guards. Omer Rav, explains that they're puzmike. These are leggings made out of iron. Again, all these three items are worn during wartime. And that's why min haTorah it's really mutter, because it's considered intrinsic to his essence, to his clothing that he's wearing, that is the things that he wears during war. However, midrabanan, we said these are things that he's not allowed to wear, and therefore you're not going to be chayav achatas, but it's still asa to wear on Shabbos. So now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Although we had a Mishnah that spoke about things that a woman is not allowed to go out with into Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, those were midrabanan. Now the Mishnah explains things that it's asa min haTorah for a woman to go out with on Shabbos. So the Mishnah begins. Leisese isha b'machar hanekuva. A woman's not allowed to go out with on Shabbos with a needle that has an eye in it, that has a hole in it. Leloi b'tabas sheyesh lo'achesim. And now with a ring that has a signet, that has a seal on it. Veloi b'chulyer, and now with a brooch. Veloi b'chaveles, now with a spice bundle. And the Gemara is going to explain what chulyer and chaveles specifically are. Veloi b'tzluchet shel payotin. And now with a flask of balsam oil. And if she goes out with these items, she's chayev achatas. That's the opinion of Rimei, because he holds that these items are not considered tachshit, and therefore they have nothing to do with her, and therefore it's considered regular carrying on Shabbos, and therefore you're chayev for achatas. However, the Chacham say that she is potter from achatas if she carries the spice bundle and the flask of the balsam oil, because they hold that they are tachshitin, and therefore min haTorah it is mutter, but only midrabanan is going to be asur. So the Gemara begins. We said one of the halachas in this Mishnah that a woman is not allowed to go out with a ring that has a seal, a chayisim on it, and if she does, she's chayiv achatas. It's asim natar. So Amaula Ula says, b'chilufein b'ishn, the exact opposite halacha applies to a man. That is, regarding this ring that we said, for a man, a ring that has a nida seal, if the man goes out with it, then he is potter min natar. However, if he goes out with a ring that does not have a seal, then he's going to be chayiv achatas. The exact opposite, that's by a woman. That by the woman, that min haTorah, she's potter if it has no seal, and she's chayev if it has a seal. A man is chayev if it does not have a seal, and potter if it has a seal. Because men and women wear different types of rings. However, the Gemara says, al maksava ula, obviously ula holds, that kol midi dechazi li'ish, lechazi li'isha, that it's not necessarily the fact that if it's something's fit for a man, that we consider it a takshid, or something intrinsic to the man, that's going to be for the woman. Umidu dechaz li'ish, lechaz li'ish. And that something that's fit for a woman doesn't necessarily mean it's fit for the man. And that is, we say that a man, generally, his takshid is a ring that has a seal, because that's something that men use, that they seal envelopes and different edicts and orders, whereas a woman, it's not. It's only jewelry for if it does not have a ring. However, we say that we don't compare the two. However, Masr, Rabbi Yosef asks from a braisa that seems to counter-indicate this, and says that if for one type of person it is considered jewelry, so then for everybody it is. As we learn to Roim Yitzin Besaken, that shepherds can go out with a sackcloth on Shabbos. And these are a sack that they would wear in case of inclement weather. If it was raining, they would cover themselves with the sackcloth. So the Bryce says, not only for shepherds did we say that they're allowed to go out with a sackcloth on Shabbos, El Kaladim, rather every person. El Shadagun Shalaroim, let's Besaken, but rather it's only the way, the normative practice, are only for shepherds to go out with sackcloth. The regular people don't go out with that. So you see from the Braisa that even though that regular people don't generally wear a sackcloth to cover themselves from rain, but since for that person, for the shepherd, it is a tachshid, so therefore for everybody it's considered a tachshid. So therefore the same thing should apply with men and women, that if it's a tachshid, if it's a ring for a man, it should be one for a woman, and for a woman it should be for a man. That we see as long as there's a minority of the population that wear it, it's considered already a cloth, it's considered an item, a tachshid, that for everybody it's inclusive of that. And that the Gemara says, Lama Rav Yosef, Ksava Ula, Ula holds, Noshim Am Befnei Atzmanim. Women are a nation unto themselves. And that is, you can't compare men and women. That is, although that we saw by rowing by the shepherds, that as long as some part of the population, but as long as they were men, so therefore for all men we say that it's considered a takshid, it's considered something that they cover themselves with the rain for. However, the fact that women do something cannot be applied to men, and same thing in reverse, from men to women, it's different than when the shepherd, as long as there's men, you're comparing it to all the other men. And that the Gemara continues asking, Esav Abaya asks, that seems to be that no, that we could compare what satachshit for a man to a woman and from a woman to a man, because we learned hamleitzit tefillin. Someone that finds tefillin on Shabbos, whether in the marketplace or on the road, so it's just they're laying on the street, mechnisin, he brings it into the city by wearing it, so therefore you're not considered carrying it because you're wearing it on your head and your arm. Zug zug, one pair at a time, just like he wears it during the weekday, one on his head and one on his arm. Then he takes it off, he goes back, he puts in another pair and he brings it in. So that's the way he ultimately brings in all the pairs. And it says, Echad ish of Echad isha. Both a man and a woman could do this to bring in the tefillin one pair at a time. So that obviously, even though it's not a tachshit, it's not an adornment for a woman, because women don't wear tefillin, but still we say that migui, that since it's considered a tachshit, it's an adornment for a man, so then it's mutar also for a woman. And therefore, the Gemara proves this, because vi'i amrit noshin ambef ne'atzman hein, if you're going to say that women are a nation to themselves, and therefore you can't learn women from men and men from women, but then how could it be a tachshit for women? Mitzvah saseh shes man gramahu, tefillin are considered a mitzvah saseh, a positive commandment that has a designated time, because you can't wear tefillin at all times. And all mitzvahs that say positive commandments, that the time is what causes it, that it's only at specific times, we know that women are pata from. And therefore, women on their own, it's definitely not a tachshit, because it's not a mitzvah that they do. So it's not an adornment for them. And if you can't learn women from men, so the fact that it's a tachshit for men, how does it help a woman? How could a woman go ahead and carry it on Shabbos? It should be regular haitzah. It's not a tachshit for a woman. That the Gemara says, Hasan, that b'raisa, Savri Meir Laila Sman Tefillin Hu, holds like Remeir that the night is a time for wearing tefillin, and Veshabbos Man Tefillin Hu, and Shabbos is also a time of wearing tefillin, and therefore Havalei Mitzvah Asei Shaloyas Man Gerama. That comes out that really tefillin is a mitzvah, Asei, a positive commandment, that the time is not, it has no time constraints, and therefore the mitzvah is at all times 24/7, and therefore it doesn't have a designated time to say that it's a mitzvah Asei Shas Man Gerama that women would be potter from. And the reason why I picked nighttime and Shabbos is because by both those times there is a machlekes in the Gemara, and if they hold like Reb Meir by one and not by the other, then again tefillin would be still a mitzvah saseh as man gerama, and it would be pater for women. So therefore, we have to say that it's both by night and on Shabbos that we say that it is a time that of wearing tefillin, and therefore there is no time that you don't wear tefillin, and therefore v'chol mitzvah saseh lo yizman gerama nashim chayavis, and therefore any positive commandment that it's not does not have time constraints, not a designated for a specific time, women are chayav, and therefore it is a tachshit for women because it's a regular mitzvah for them, just like it is for men. And that's why that price held that women could carry it in one pair at a time because it is a tachshit for them. But now Gemara goes back to the ikar din that's mentioned in our Mishnah regarding these rings. It said, a woman is not allowed to go out with a ring that has on it a seal, a signet. And if she does, she's chayav achatas, that is, it's asa min ha-tayra. So the question is, but this transferring from the private domain, let's say, Rishus HaYochet to Rishus HaRab, that she's carrying this ring that has on it a seal. So again, it's not something intrinsic to her because it has a seal, it's not jewelry. So therefore, it's considered haitzah. But how is she carrying it? On her finger. That's carrying in an unusual manner. That is our Mishnah that says that for carrying this ring that she's wearing on her finger, that it's not an adornment, it's not a tachsha, but why is she chayav achatas? She didn't bring it out the way regular people carry things, because whatever's not an adornment for a person, how do you carry it? In your hands. You don't wear it because it's not jewelry for you. But here she's wearing it on her finger, and therefore, at least it shouldn't be chayav achatas, because the way you're chayav achatas is only when you do it in the normative way of carrying. And that would be carrying it in your hand, holding it in your open hand, not on your finger. And since it's kolach yad, it should not be chayav achatas, it should not be asam in atayra. And that thing Gemara says, Amar b'yimriya, b'isha gizbor saskin. Here we're talking about a specific type of a woman that's in charge. That is, she constantly sends different letters and edicts, and she's in charge of people under her. And therefore she says, give this amount of money to that person. And she always has the seal in her hand. So therefore for her, it's regular for her to put it onto her finger because she's not going to always hold it. So she keeps it on her finger. However, even that woman, it's not a tachshit, it's not a jewelry, it's not an adornment for her because that's not the custom of women to wear rings that have seals. However, it is still considered the derech for her to transfer like that. And therefore it's not considered kalach hayad. And that's why she's going to be chayv achatas for carrying and transporting that ring that has a seal in it on Shabbos. That again, although it's not a jewelry for her, it's not an adornment, it's not a tachshit. However, it's not considered that it's not the derech for her to have it on her finger because this type of woman always has this ring on her finger. So again, it's not a tachshit because women don't wear such rings, but it's still considered the derech, and that's where she says chayav achatas. However, the Gemara says, "I'm a rabbi, teratz to ishta." So you resolve for us the problem about the woman that although it's not a jewelry, but it is considered the way that she carries, and therefore she's chayav achatas. However, ishma yeklamim, what are you going to say about a man? Because Ula said v'chilufeyim be'ish. He said the exact opposite is by the man. That is, the man is chayav achatas for a ring that does not have a seal on it, just a regular ring. However, again, that's considered haitzah kalachayah, that's transporting something in an indirect manner, because it's not the way, it's not the custom for a man to wear a ring like that around his finger that doesn't have a seal. So why is he chayav achatas in that case that does not have a seal? Elam HaRabbah, Rabbah says a different interpretation. And that will explain the woman wearing the man's ring and the man wearing the woman's ring. Sometimes a man gives his wife a ring that has a seal, which is the rings that men wear. And the reason why he gives it to his wife is to go put in the box, to go ahead and conceal it there. And she puts it on her finger until she gets to the box, because she doesn't want to have to carry it. And therefore, it's not considered kalachiyat, such an indirect manner, because sometimes women do put on their finger. Again, although it's not a tachshit for that, women don't wear that, but since their husbands give it to them to put it away, so up until they get there, they put on their finger. So it's not such an indirect manner. That's why she's chayav achatas. And the same thing in reverse. Sometimes a woman gives to her husband a ring that does not have a seal on it. And why? She gives it to him to bring it to a craftsman to fix it. He puts it on his finger until he gets to the craftsman. He doesn't want to keep it in his pocket, in his hand. He might lose it, whatever. So he puts it on his finger until he gets it. So we do consider it derech etzah for him, although it's not jewelry for him. Therefore, it's not intrinsic to him. It's external. It's considered caring. However, the fact that it's on his finger is not so indirect, because a lot of times men do put on their finger even without a seal, and that's why he would be chayav chatas in the reverse case of a ring that has no seal. So the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah that said, v'loy b'chulyer, v'loy b'chavelis. A woman cannot go out on Shabbos with a kulyer and not with a spice bundle. So the Gemara has my kulyer. What is this kulyer? So I'm a rav, machpanta, that's the brooch, as we explained in the Mishnah. For that, a woman will be chayav chatas on Shabbos. Kavelis. Amarav, Rav says, Chumarta de pilon. It's a pack containing this pilon. That is, it's a type of a pendant that you would hang in this type of a spice that was called pilon, and it had a very good smell. And the woman that had a very bad body odor would carry it, so to speak, to counter the bad smell that came from her. B'chinam Ravasi, Chumarta de pilon. It's a pack containing pilon, that this is usher for a woman to go out with on Shabbos into Rosh Hashanah. However, the Gemara brings a braisa that has a three-way machlokes regarding this case of kevelis on Shabbos. Tanabon, leisetzi b'chevelis. A woman is not allowed to go out with this chevelis, with this pack containing the spices, this, so to speak, this deodorant on Shabbos. V'myatzis l'chayev eschatzis. And if she goes out with it, she's chayev eschatzis. That's the opinion of Remeya. That's the first opinion. V'chomoyim l'chomoyim say a second opinion. Loisetzi, she's not allowed to go out with it. However, v'myatzis b'truv, she goes out with it, she's a potter, she's not chayev eschatzis. It's mutim in atayra, but it's asim d'abon. Rabbi Eliezer says the third opinion, Yoytze Isha b'kevelis l'gatchila, a woman is initially allowed to go out with this kevelis on Shabbos, is no problem at all. So we have three different opinions, and the Gemara says, but Mike and Mifka, what are they arguing about? We have one that says that it's so awesome that's even awesome in that Torah. We have one that says that it's so mutter, it's mutter even in that Torah. And we have one that says, no, it's awesome midrabanan, but it's mutter in that Torah. So but Mike and Mifka, what does this machlikus depend on? So Remeir Savar Masa, Remeir that says that Yochai Vachatas says that it's a burden, it's not a tachshit, it's not a jewelry, it's something that's just to take care of the body odor, and therefore it's a Masa in Yochai Vachatas. Rabban Savar Tachshit, Rabban say that no, it's considered an adornment for the woman, and that is, it's a pendant, it's something that's so to speak, intrinsic to her in some type of a way. And therefore, if she goes out with it, she's going to be part of a machat. So, she should not go out with it because v'dilma shalfa machat. Maybe she's going to take it off and show it to people. It's still in the dormant. V'asi letui, and she might come to carry it for amas and reshus rab. However, Rabbi Elazar Savar, man darka lemimri. Rabbi Elazar says, what type of a woman is going to be wearing this pendant around her neck? Isha sheikh rechara, a woman that has a bad smell, a bad body odor. Because that's what it's inside of it. It's to counter the smell. Isha shirichara l'shaf machave. A woman that has a bad body odor is not going to go ahead and take it off and show it to her friends because that's going to be embarrassing for her that she needs it to take care of the smell. And therefore, she's not going to come ahead and carry it for Amos and Shazarab. However, the Gemara asks on this opinion of Rabbi Elazar that we just brought that he says l'ketchil yilad even go out with this kovelis, this good-smelling piloin that's in this packet on Shabbos, that it's even like a tchilav, a time we learn that b'raisa, Rebbe Elazar poitu b'chevelis u'b'tzleicha shabayot. Rebbe Elazar says that a woman is exempt if she goes out with this kevelis or with this packet containing this balsam oil, this flask of balsam oil on Shabbos, that by us, he just said that it's mutlak tchil, and here he says he exempts that you won't be chayiv, but it's us like a tchil. Nothing more says loikash, it's not difficult. Because this one that says that she's potter, which sounds like initially you shouldn't, but that you're only exempt, ki koi ad Reb Meir. That was in reference to the statement of Reb Meir, that there's a braisa that there was no opinion of the Rabbana mentioned, only Reb Meir. The Reb Meir says, you chayav achatas, and that Rabbana says, no, you're not chayav achatas, you're potter. Although he says, really, in his shita, he holds that it's mutlak as chila, but he was only responding to Reb Meir that says, you chayav, so he says, you're potter. Ha, ki koi ad Rabban, this other braisa that says, that he says that it's even mutlak as chila, was in reference to the Rabbana. That there, that braisa that was the opinion of Rabbanu was mentioned, that they said that you're potter, but it's also ketchila. And that Rabbi Elazar said, explicitly explained his opinion, that she could even go out like ketchila, as the Gemara explains. Kiko ad Remei, when he was responding to Remei, there was no opinion of the Rabbanu there. The Amar Chayev Chata said, Yechayev Chataz, Amalei Potter says, no, you're potter. Kiko ad Rabbanu, when there was all three opinions, Remei, Rabbanu, and Rabbi Elazar, the Amri Potter Balazar, that the Chacham said, last in Rabbi Meir, they said that, you're exempt, but it's us like a tchila. Amar ihu mat like a tchila. That's when he said, no, not even like that. It's even mutter. It's even permitted, even initially like that, because there's no concern. You're not going to go ahead and take it off because it's for a bad smell and it's embarrassing to show people that you're wearing that. So now we continue on to Mem Beis, where the Gemara asks, Umay Reb Meir. What is this Reb Meir that, where do we ever find that there's the opinion of Reb Meir stated without the Rabbana, and that Reb Elazar argued on him, and therefore he said pater, but really he means even mutzal ketchil, he's just responding to Reb Meir, where the opinion of the Rabbana not mentioned, that he says chayim, and then he says pater. And that the Gemara brings the time we learn the Braisa. Le'iseisi isha b'mavtech shebiyad, a woman is not allowed to go out with a key in her hand. V'miyatzisa chayiv chatzis, if she goes out with the key in her hand, she's chayiv chatzis, the Reb Meir, that's the opinion of Reb Meir. Reb Elazar poitim b'kevelis u'betzlech shebiyad. And Rabbi Elazar responds to Remei, and he says that the woman is exempt if she goes out with this kevelis and this tzleich shabayot and this flask of the balsam oil. And that the Gemara asks, how do you understand the brisa? Kevelis man de kashma, whoever mentioned anything about kevelis, Remei is talking about a key, and Rabbi Elazar says, she's exempt with this kevelis and this tzleich shabayot, and this is the brisa that only has Remei and Rabbi Elazar, but no one ever mentioned kevelis. And that the Gemara says, chafsuri mechster v'chagtani, there are some words missing, and this is what the brisa was saying. Remei says, not only is she for holding the key in her hand, the same thing applies to this packet with this piloin spice and also with the flask of the balsam oil. That lo says she should not go out with that on Shabbos. But if she goes out with it, she's chayav achatas. That's opinion of Remeir. And that is only says opinion of Remeir. That says Rabbi Elazar poiter the kevelis of b'slicha shabayotin. And that was the statement that we said, Rabbi Elazar, that she's potter, she's not chayav achatas, if she goes out with this kevelis, this pack with the spices, and with the flask of the balsam oil. However, in truth, really, Rabbi Elazar holds that not only is she potter, she's even mutlak ketchila, he was just responding to the statement of chayav to potter. But when the Rabbanan opinion is mentioned that it's potter avalasa, he says, no, it's even mutlak ketchila. And that the Braisa continues, and says, Bamed v'mamum, when did we say this? That is, when did Rabbi Elazar say that it's potter? And obviously we explained that potter means even mutlak ketchila, as we just mentioned. So Rabbi Elazar says, that's kishyesh b'hem b'isim. That's when the packet of the pendant that carries around their neck actually has this when this palyotin has the chamarta, when it's made like a kameya, that it's a packet and inside there's something. So when there's spices inside of it, then we say that it's a dormant for this woman that has the bad body odor. And we're not concerned that she's going to go ahead and take it off to show it to other people, as we said, because that's embarrassing for her. So then she's allowed to go out with that, even like a tchila on Shabbos. But if this pendant does not have the spices inside of it, then she would be chayiv, because then you only have the chamarta, you only have the packet. That's not a tachshit for the woman, and because it's only a tachshit when it has the spice inside of it, and then therefore she would be chayiv. On that, the Gemara infers, Amrav Adbar Hava, Zois Emers, this being said, this that we learned, that if there's no boisim, if there's no spice inside of it, then she'd be chayiv. So then we can infer the following halacha. Hamoitzi oichlin pochas mekashir bekli, if someone takes out food items, less than the designated shir that you would be chayiv for hitzah on Shabbos, in a vessel, then chayiv, that then the person would be chayiv for transferring. That is, we see from Rabbi Elazar that if someone takes out food on Shabbos in a vessel, but the food has less than the requisite shear, that although you're not going to be chayiv for hitzah for taking out the food because it has less than a gregris, a dry date that's necessary for hitzah, as the Gemara learns in Daf Ayin Vav Amabez, but that you would still be chayiv for transporting the actual vessel that's holding the food. And we won't say that the vessel is, so to speak, subsidiary, a tuffel to the food, and that you won't be chayiv on the kli, because just like you're not chayiv on the food, so too you're not chayiv on the kli, because the person, it was only had intention to take out the food, so therefore we see it as a tuffel to the food. And therefore, this inference is arguing on the Stam Mishnah that's learned in Perek HaMetzniah later on, Tzad Gimel Beis, that says that you're potter even on the vessel, because it is a tuffel, it says over there, that since your intention is for the food to take out, and the food you're not chayav less than the share, so the kli, although the kli has a share, we don't view it as its own, we view it as tuffel to the food, and therefore you're not chayav on the food, you're not chayav on the kli. So it seems like from the statement of Rabbi Elazar that he argues on that Stam Mishnah. Why? How do we see that? The ha'emba boisim kapoches mikashir b'kli damim. When this packet does not have the spices inside of it, that's the same as a kli that has less than the share of food inside of it. And that is because the kli over here gets the spices, it gets the smell of the spices inside of it. And really the share of transporting besamim, of spices in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, is any minute amount. And since it doesn't even have a kosher here, it doesn't have anything in it, so therefore the smell is, so to speak, Pachas Mekashir, has less than the shear, because the shear, although it's almost nothing, but you have to have at least something, and therefore here when you took out all the spices, so although it has the smell, however the packet is, so to speak, carrying, it's a kli, carrying something like less than the shear, just like the case of less than the shear of the food, the Ketan Chayevis, and still we learned from Rebbe Elazar that the woman would be Chayev, and we don't say that the kli becomes a tuffel to the smell that's inside of it. And that just like the you're not chayv for taking out the smell because it's pachas mikashir, because it doesn't have anything, so too you'd be potter on the kli. So obviously you see Rebbe Elazar argues on that Stam Mishnah, because again it's the equivalent of the same type of a case. When you have a keli that's carrying out food item, it has less than a shear, that although the Stam Mishnah over there says that you're potter because we see that it's a tuffel to the food item and that's less, here Rebbe Elazar says that you're chayv for the packet, although really it's, so to speak, a tuffel to the spice that's inside of it, which is the main thing. And here, since it doesn't have any spices, so it's, so to speak, although there's a smell in there, but it's pachas mikashir, it doesn't have the minutest amount, still Rebbe Elazar says you're chayv for the packet. Obviously, he argues in that Stam Mishnah that although it has less than the kashir, he would hold that you're chayv for the kli that's carrying out the food less than the shir. However, the Gemara brings down more that argues and says, Rav Ashi says no. But Alma emel chapata. In truth, I would tell you that Rebbe Elazar agrees to the Stam Mishnah over there. That when you're taking out a vessel that has less than the amount of shir of the food, and since you're not chayv on the food, and that's the main purpose of taking out the vessel, that you'll even be potter on the vessel. But here this case is different, that where there's no substance at all. And that is, here you can't say that the vessel, the packet, becomes a tuffel to the smell that's inside of it, because there's nothing of substance at all. And it's not even really called pachas mikashir, because there's nothing there at all. But if it had less than the shear of something that has some type of substance, then the kli would become a tuffel, and therefore you'd be potter, and therefore Rebbe Elazar would agree to that Mishnah, and therefore there's no contradiction between the two statements, that when it has actual substance, and it's less than the kashir, then you would be potter on the keli that's holding it, and here the packet is considered, so to speak, individual, not a tuffel, because there's nothing here of substance at all, so although there's a smell, it's not a tuffel to it, and therefore you'd be chayiv on the packet. So now the Gemara continues on this topic, this theme of balsam oil that we mentioned before regarding Hitzah, regarding the different psukim relating to that. So there's a pasuk in Amos that says, "Vereishis shemonim yimshachu," that the finest of oils, they anoint themselves. So the Gemara explains, what was this pasuk talking about, that the Navi said, "Musa teklai," so that they didn't care about anything that was going on, that they had to make themselves into better people. They were just busy making themselves pleasurable and physical pleasures, indulging in that, and not caring about spiritual aspirations. What was this finest of oils? That's balsam oil, because that's the best oils that there are. Rabbi Yosef asks, if you're saying that balsam oil is considered an oil that's used for pleasure, so then we learned af al palyotin goz Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. We learned that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava decreed, and these were many different decrees that were made at the time of the Churban, because of the Tsar, the pain of the Churban, they decreed different things we shouldn't do, music and different items of wearing. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava said that the Gezerah applies to even to palyotin, which is balsam oil. And they didn't agree to him. The Chacham argued, and they said, no, balsam oil is something that's, so to speak, necessary, and therefore it's not included in the Gezerah. V'iyamrit mishum tainig, and if you're interpreting the pasuk of a reish shman mshachu, that's a reference to balsam oil, where that's what the pasuk, that's what it says, that the pasuk is saying bad about Kalai, so that they didn't care about the prophets, they were telling about all the punishment that's going to come, and all they were doing were indulging in pleasures, and that you're saying that ze palyotin, that's balsam oil. So then amay lo haydiloi, why didn't the Chacham agree to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava that it should be usher the balsam oil, if it's not something that's necessary, it's just pleasure? It should be like all the other items where everyone agrees that they asked, that they said it's prohibited after the Churban Bayis, because it's not necessary. So obviously, it's not like you're saying that it's balsam oil, because then if it was balsam oil, that pasuk, that's a thing just for pleasure, and then the Chacham should have asked it. However, Omale Abaye said to Rav Yosef, it's not a difficulty. Otamecha, according to you, this says over there in the pasuk also, the things that the Jews would do at that time, which with the talking derogatory that they're only busy with these physical pleasures, says Hashoisin b'mizraka yayin, those that drink from the bowls of wine. So what does that mean? So we have two interpretations in Amiram, which Abai will prove his point from. Rabbi Ami v'Rabasi, Chadamer Kenishkanen, one says that it was a reference to these glass, these long, large glass vessels that had two openings on either side. And two people would be drinking from it at the same time. And the reason why it's called Mizrakis is because the wine would be thrown from one end to the other, that they'd be drinking and it, so to speak, would be spilling from one guy to the other. And that's what the Jews were doing at the time. That's what they were busy with. One says this b'mizraki yayim, said that they would throw their cups one to the other. That was like a skill that they had. They were able to like throw at the same time, and they would be catching and be busy with these types of pursuits. So you want to infer from the pesukim and amos that since they're pleasurable things, that everyone should agree that they should be usher after the churban bayis. And therefore, that even to drink from these kenishkanen, from these types of large glass vessels, that they should be usher also. But v'harabe barav huna iklu be'resh galus. So Rabbi Huna went to the resh galus, so the head of the people in Babel, that he was the head of all the Jews, he was a Jew. V'shasa be'kenishkanen, and they were drinking from this kenishkanen, they had these two openings. V'loim le'vlami, they didn't tell him anything. So obviously that anything that's mentioned in the Pesukim and Amos is not a question that this should be something that should be usher, and therefore you're asking that why didn't everyone agree that balsam oil should be usher if that's mentioned in the Pesukim and Amos that they were doing things of pleasure. So why is it not usher? So he says why. El kol midi disbe tainig vesbe simcha gaz rabban. The Rabbanan decreed after the Churban Beis Hamikdash that things that have both pleasure and brings joy, those things are usher. The things that have pleasure, but it doesn't bring joy, that the Chacham did not say that it's aser. And therefore, they didn't aser all the psukim, all everything that's mentioned in psukim amis, because those things are only things of pleasure. And therefore, it's not difficult why, although the pasuk is a reference to balsam oil, as the Amorah first said, Yehuda Mashmol, that's mutter, just like we see that these kenishkan and these types of glasses are also mutter, although it's also mentioned in psukim, because those are things of tainig and not of simcha also. It requires tainig and simcha, pleasure and joy, to say that after the Churban Bayis, we don't do these things anymore. So the Gemara continues with the psukim over there. It says over there the things that the Jews had done bad, and that's why all the bad is going to come unto them. It says, Hasheichvim al mitoishem, that they lay on beds of ivory, v'sruchim al arsaisim, and stretched out on their couches. So what does that mean? So we interpret what the pasuk means. This means to say that they would urinate in front of their beds while naked. And that is that he infers from the word sruchim, which means foul, that something foul was al arsaisim on their couches. It means to say that they would urinate right by their bed. And that's what the bad things that they would do. So Megadav bar Rebbe laughed at that. Ihochi, if that's what they had done bad, Heindich, so this is what the pasuk later says, Lachin ata yigla barishka. Now, because of these things that they had done, they're going to go out in exile at the head of exiles. Mishum demashtin n'mayim efnei mitaseim arum, because they urinate in front of their beds while naked, yigla barishka. That's why they're going to go out at the head of exiles. It's so bad. Obviously, it's not the best of things. But because of that, they're going to have this torturous exile that's going to last so many years, and they're going to have this great punishment. Elamer Bavo, Rebbe Bavo gives a different interpretation. That Elu b'nei Adam shoy oichlim b'shoisim zeze. This is a reference to people that they would eat and drink together. V'dovkin mitoisein zu b'zu, and they would attach their beds, which are that they would recline on while eating and drinking, one to the other. U'machflifin n'shesein zemeze, and they would swap wives. U'masrichin arsusam b'shichvezera shein n'shalhen, and they would make foul smelling their beds with, they would make it putrid with semen that wasn't theirs. Now obviously, with illicit sexual relations, that's that it says that seruchim al arsaisim, that it was foul on their beds. It means regarding a shichva zera that wasn't theirs. That's the great punishment. But it wasn't just because of that they urinate naked in front of the beds. Rather, these are the bad things that they had done, and that's why they were going out bereish kol goyim, bereish goyim at the head of the exiles. So the Gemara, once it discussed, it talks about this idea about being mashtin, being urinating naked in front of one's bed. Amr bavo uv amr lo b'masnindotana, some say it was not in a braisa. Gimel dvar mevinas adam l'dianias. There are three things that brings a person to poverty. Ve'elohin, these are. Hamashdin Mayim Bifnei Mitasi Arm, someone that urinates in front of his bed while naked. As the Gemara in Avi Pesachim says in Daf Kof Yud Aleph and Beis, that the Sar, the angel, so to speak, of poverty, his name is Novel, and they call him Novel. In other words, it's disgusting, and he loves places of disgusting, of repulsiveness. And if someone urinates in front of his bed, that's disgusting. And although it says that if he does it naked, it's only the norm that it's saying that because he's naked, he doesn't want to go out because they had the urinals, they had the bathrooms outside. He didn't want to go out because it's too difficult to get dressed and to go out. So that's why it says naked, but it's not necessarily the concept. It's the concept of urinating near your bed. That's disgusting, and therefore that causes poverty. The second item is umezalzel matilas yadayim, someone that's not careful, not meticulous in the halachas of matilas yadayim. And the third one is v'she'ishta mikalolase b'fanav, and someone that his wife curses him in front of him. So the Gemara explains the first item. It says hamashtin mayim b'fanav mitasi arm, someone that urinates in front of his bed while naked, it causes poverty. So Amar Rava explains, he qualifies this, lo yamarin el demahader ape lepuri. That's only if he turns his face towards his bed. But if he faces outward while he urinates, although he's near his bed, that's not a problem because the stream is long and it goes, sprays far. Therefore, it's not right near his bed. That's not so disgusting. And also, moreover, even when he turns his face towards his bed, we didn't say that it's a problem, that it's disgusting and it's going to cause poverty, only when he urinates on the floor. But if there's a container that's holding it, that's not a problem. The second item was mezalzel matilas yadayim. If someone's he's disgraceful, he's not meticulous to halachas of matilas yadayim. So Amar Rava, qualifies and says lo yamarin el dele moshe yodeklal. We didn't say this that it causes poverty only if he doesn't wash his hands at all. Av a moshe v'lo yamoshe. But if he washes and he doesn't wash, in other words, like somewhere in the middle that he doesn't wash it so great, rather just with a little bit amount of water exactly revis as necessary, then less lamba. They would not bother. You don't have to have that much. You just have to have the minimum requisite. But the Gemara says it's not true. V'lav milsehi. The Amr Rav Chizda, because Rav Chizda said, "Ano mashoi maloi chafni maya." I wash my hands with a handful of water, with, I mean, a lot of water. V'yahavli maloi chafni tibus, and therefore I was given back the, so to speak, a shefa, an abundance of goodness from Hashem. Also a handful. In other words, the more water you take, the better off it is. It shows a chashivus for it, and that's why a person should wash with as much of abundance as water as possible. The third item was v'she'ishta mikalose b'fanav, that a man that his wife curses him in front of his face. So Amar Rava, Rava qualifies this too. It's al iske tachshite. Why is she cursing him? Because of her jewelry that he doesn't want to buy for her. However, he says v'han emili hu de'islei v'lei over. That's only if he has money and he doesn't want to do it and doesn't buy it anyway. If he doesn't have the money, there's nothing to do, even if she's upset. But if he has the money and he doesn't, and then she's cursing him, that will cause a person to come to poverty because that's what the money is given to him to share and to give to his wife. As the Gemara says elsewhere, you should give to your wife more than you have, and that's what the shefa comes to him, through him to his wife. So the Gemara continues with this concept that we're talking about, that musr, the rebuke that was given to Klal Yisrael, especially in reference to preetzes, to improper conduct regarding sexual relations. So the Gemara says, Darish Rava Bered Ravi Loi, that Rava, the son of Ravi Loi, he lectured and he said as follows. Ma'idichsiv, what is the understanding of the pasuk in Yeshaya that says, V'yem Hashem, Hashem said, Yan kigovu benoit tzion, because the daughters of Tzion have become haughty. So what does that mean? So he says, Shehoyim ha'alchis b'kum eskufa. The reason why all these punishments came to Klal Yisrael were because the girls, the women in Yerushalayim, were walking with an erect posture. And that is why it says that kigavu, that they became tall. In other words, because they walk with erect posture, it makes them look tall. That's why, because of that breach of tznias, that caused all the bad. The Gemara continues explaining the psukim that are referenced to these things that the women had done, which were improperly regarding the halachas of tznias. They say lachnen tuyas garn. The pasuk says that they were walking with outstretched necks. So the Gemara explains this shahayim halachas ekev b'tzad goydle, means that they would walk with the heel opposite the big toe. And that is, they would walk very slowly, that only the foot would go, the heel to the big toe, that they should walk very slowly, that the men should look at them. And they took a while walking. And the reason why that's called with outstretched necks is because the custom is, for someone that has outstretched necks, he has to walk very slowly. And that's because he doesn't see his leg, he has his head all the way up, so you have to walk very slowly not to fall. That's a reference with outstretched necks. It means that the women would walk very slowly, that the men should look at them. So then the pasuk says, "Umesakre seinayim," and with gazing eyes. So what does that mean? Davemolyan kuchla leinayim, that they fill their eyes full with makeup, and that's the lashon of sikra. Mesakre is a reference to makeup, and moreover, the word mesakre also means umiramzin, and they would beckon the bachrim, the young men, That's because the word seeker also means to look. So therefore, there is a reference to these two things that they would do, that they would fill their eyes with makeup and they would flutter their eyes to beckon to the men. And the pasuk continues, holuch v'tafuf, that they would go and they would be floating. What does that mean? Shoyimahalchis aruchu b'tzad k'tzara. It means that they would have a tall girl, a tall woman, that would be walking together right next to a small woman. And that is, it almost seems like that she was floating on top of the head of her friend, and that makes her look more beautiful. And these psukim are talking about married women. And that's why it's talking about the disgrace, the gnus of these women, because although sometimes by girls, but it's a whole new level by married women that this is what they're doing to attract the attention of the men. So it says, "Braglehen ta'achasna," that with their legs, they would spew venom. So what does that mean? This means that they would put myrrh and balsam, all these different types of good spices, in their shoes. And then they would walk in the marketplace in Yerushalayim. And once they got close to the young men, the young Jewish men, they would kick their feet on the ground. And they would spray the perfume on the Jewish men. And it would bring in the evil inclination to those boys and those men like venom from an angry snake. And that's the word tachasna, which is kois, which is related to the word of an angry snake. And that is, it would cause all these breaches of tznias. So the Gemara says, my prayer in the same way. So what was the punishment of these women? So the Gemara says, k'didarish Rabbi Bar Ula, as Rabbi Bar Ula lectured on the psukim that say later what the punishments was. It says, v'hoyu tachas boysam, that in the place of fragrance, makiyeh will be decay. Which means, mokum shoyi mispas mismoy, the places where they would perfume themselves, nasin namokum became decayed, the flesh would decay over there. And the pasuk continues, v'tachas chagura nokfa, that below the belt was nokfa, which the Gemara explains to say, mokum shoyi chaguris betzilzel, the place where they would tie around themselves these beautiful bands and these belts, nasin nakofim, that's where they would get these wounds, they would get all bruised up in those same areas. The pasuk says, v'tachas maisa miksha karcha, that in the place of carved items was boldness. And that means, mokum shoyi miskash tisboy, in the places where they would decorate themselves, and that is, in other words, that's a reference to their hair, where they would comb and they would liquor it. They would have all these different things that they would do to their hair. And the word miskashtes is very similar to the pasuk that uses miksha. That's almost like an acronym. So the place where they would adorn themselves, nasa krachim krachim. That's where it says that there was boldness. They lost their hair. They couldn't use it anymore as a way of adorning themselves to lure the young men. The pasuk says v'tachas psigil machgurisak, that in the place of a sash was the belt of a sackcloth. So the drush of that is psachim hamavin degila, that the openings, the crevices that brought joy and happiness, and that is the word psigil is an acronym of two words, psach gila, the opening of joy, which is a reference to the woman's private parts. That's the opening of joy. The machgurisak, it became a girding for sackcloth. It became a difficulty and became sadness for the woman, as the pasuk says, kisachas yofi, because it was instead of beauty. Which the Gemara says, I'm a Rava, hind ami inchi. This is what people say, chalufi shufra kiva, that in exchange for beauty becomes sores. That is, all the things that they did to make themselves beautiful ended up haunting them at the end. So the pasuk over there says, v'sipach Hashem kodkod b'noi tzion, that Hashem afflicted the heads of the daughters of tzion. So I'm a b'yuz b'chadina, what does that mean? Malamet shaporcha ben tzaras, that they were afflicted with tzaras, with the afflictions of negoim. It says over here, v'sipach, uksiv hasim, it says over there by tzaras, by the affliction that comes on the person of a mitzayra, l'se'es, v'lesapachas. It's the same word of sipach, that we see that they got tzaras. So the psukim over there conclude, v'ashem pasen yo'ara, that Hashem caused their openings to pour. So we have two interpretations. Rav Shmuel, chadam eshenishpachu kakitin, that they poured out like a pitcher, and that is, they constantly were flowing the blood of Ziva. And that was the punishment. So the first interpretation says that Yor is like pouring out. Second one says that their openings became like a forest. And that is a reference, the opening is a reference to their private parts, that became like a forest, that became full of hair, and that made them disgusting for intercourse. That was their punishment. Again, all the things that they tried doing to allure the young boys became for them the source of their punishment. So the Gemara says, up until now we discussed the bad things the women did and their punishment. Now we continue on to the men. They weren't great in those times either. They were all involved and all pursuing the sexual illicit relations. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Anche Yerushalayim, Anche Shachatzayu. The men of Yerushalayim were men of pretentiousness. And that is, they would talk hoardy type of words. In other words, great and sophisticated. However, underlying it all was things which were disgusting and vulgar. But they just made themselves out to be men of great stature. But really, they were talking about disgusting things, as the Gemara explains. A man would tell his friend, "B'masa adetayim, and what did you dine today?" Which was a reference, it was a euphemism for intercourse. B'pasa meila or b'pasa enam meila? Did you eat bread that was kneaded or bread that was not kneaded, that was toiled? In other words, bread that was kneaded was a non-virgin, and bread that was never kneaded before, that was still, as it was, pure, was talking about a virgin. B'yayin gudali or b'yayin chardali? Was it white wine, and we continue on to the top of Samach Yom and Alf, or was it with dark wine? In other words, was her complexion a fear, or was it dark? A b'meisav rochav or b'meisav katzer? Did you recline on a wide couch or a narrow couch? And that is, they used to eat their meals on the couch. And when it was a euphemism for intercourse, it meant, was she a fat woman or was she a thin woman? B'chavar tov or b'chavara, did you dine with a good friend or with a bad friend? Which meant to say, was she attractive or not? As the Gemara says, Rav Chisda v'kulon liznus, all these references were regarding illicit sexual relations, and that is that those were the men in those days. So it wasn't only the women, it was also the men, that this was what they were pursuing, this is what they were all busy about the whole time. So the Gemara concludes, as we were talking about the Besamim in the times of Yerushalayim in those days, how great it was, and they used it as a tool, sadly for bad, but it was also a great sense that was a sensory organ that was able to enjoy that, the sense of the smells. Amar Chava, Amar Yehuda, Atzi Yerushalayim Shlakin Min Hoyer. The logs of Yerushalayim were of cinnamon. U'b'shosh Hoyer Mesikin Mehen, and at the time when they would burn it, Reichen Neidev B'chol Eretz Yisrael. The smell would waft and spread out throughout the entire Eretz Yisrael. However, Mishachar Yerushalayim Nignazu, from Yerushalayim was destroyed, it was concealed, it was hidden. V'loid Nishtayir El Kesayir, and it was only left over, only the size of one barley grain. U'mishtakech B'gazoyid Tzimtzoy Malkosa, and it's found in the storehouses of the queen Tzimtzoy, that was her name. That's the only place it could still be found. But once the Churban Bayis, because of all the bad they had done possibly, with all the smells, that although it's a powerful tool, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, it was lost and it's not around anymore.